fired up. We've been taking, took them revival the other night. I sort of got rebuked for that a minute ago. Somebody said, why didn't you tell us you was going to hear Larry Brown? And it was a spur of the moment thing. I didn't decide to do it till Monday, but we had a good time. And great blessing, Brother Charles. It's always a blessing to see him, and he was picking at me. And before I left, he hugged my neck, and he said, bless God, you know how he does. He said, he said, keep pouring that hot lead in the rat hole. That was a good word of encouragement to me. Keep pouring hot lead in the rat hole. Amen. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm pouring hot lead in the rat hole. I guess that means y'all are rats. But no, seriously tonight, we're going to get in the Word of God this evening and say something I believe will be a help to you. Now, everybody here needs what I'm going to say this evening. So you get your Bible and you follow me. I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to sort of half teach, preach here this evening and teach you a lesson on this verse. Hebrews chapter 7. Get your Bibles open there to Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to take just a few minutes tonight and we're going to get in the Word of God, okay? Hebrews chapter number 7. And I want to show you something in the Bible that helps me. I need help. Preachers need help. Deacons need help. Sunday school teachers need help. We all need help. As we're getting ready to get fired up and go over to Mr. Bentley Saturday night, I hope that everybody's going. Let's look at this verse of Scripture here. One of the great verses of Scripture in the Bible, in my opinion. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, see it? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now the second, third, and fourth word is what I want to talk about. He is able. Said, wherefore, he is able. I want to talk about that, them three words tonight. He is able. Now, tonight, any problems we have in our life or things that don't work out, the flaw is never with God. If there's a weakness, it's with us. If there's a problem, it's with us. It's never with God. God never lets his end of the stick down. He never fails to keep his part of the bargain. He never lets us down. He never fails. He's able. He's able to do his part. I remember I used to pray, and I still do once in a while. I used to pray, Lord, I know you'll do your part if I'll do mine. You don't have to worry about that. God's going to do his part. Now, I'm going to talk about he's able. He's able. And I don't doubt that everybody in here, you've got something in your life, something wrong with your parents at home, with your marriage, with something physical, something with your kids, some kind of issue you've got that you need help with. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I have good news for you. He is able. Thank God he's able. Now, if you'll believe what I just now said, it was worth getting dressed up and cleaned up and driving over here for. He's able. He's able, y'all. He's able. God is able. Now, let's look at this tonight, and I'm going to divide it up and make a little outline out of it and give you a few thoughts. The verse said, first, he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost. It don't matter how deep somebody goes in sin. It don't matter what they've done. I've had young people come to me sometimes and say, oh, Brother Danny, you don't know so-and-so. He's bad. He's a bad sinner. Oh, Lord, he's awful. He's the meanest thing. Listen, he's able. God's able to save that person. You may have a son or a daughter. You may have a daddy or a mother. And the devil says, there's no hope for them. They was raised this way or they was raised that way. They was raised the other way. Let me tell you something, buddy. God's able. You know what Paul said? The Apostle Paul, after God said, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul had Christians murdered. He was a blasphemer. He was on his way. Has anybody in here, you know anybody that's killed somebody just because they're a Christian? Or had them killed? I don't. Them crazy people in my eyes and stuff like that, but I don't know anybody around Morganton that hates Christians, goes around saying, "Here's a Christian, I'm going to kill him." That's what the Apostle Paul did. And God saved him. God saved him. So I'm going to tell you, there's hope for your daddy. There is hope for your mother. There is hope for your brother. There is hope for your sister. My dad, you've heard my testimony about him. My dad got to where he drank really bad when he was in his late 40s, late 40s. He got drinking, and the reason I preach hard against alcohol is because he used to take just a little sip, a little sip, a little sip, and that little sip turns into two sips, and that two sips turns into three sips, and that three sips turns into four sips. It might take it a few years, but it'll get you. And my daddy couldn't read the Bible. He's up in the mountains there in West Virginia. He was born in Kentucky, and he grew up in West Virginia. I'm going up there to see some of my family next week when I preach up there. And daddy come from a place called Castle Rock Creek, and Rock Castle Creek, something like that. And it was a crazy place. And he had no gospel, religious, Christian background at all. And the only witness that he had was my mom. And mom let him have it, buddy. And she said, "Lawrence, you believe in God?" And he said, "I don't know. I ain't never seen him." That was his answer. And he was just raised like an animal up there. My daddy's mom died when he was, don't even remember his mom ever living. And he just grew up going from place to place, and his older sisters raised him. And my daddy said he used to stand outside somebody's house at night wishing they would ask him to come in and eat. They didn't get nothing, leftovers. He said he was 20 years old before he knew a chicken had anything but feet. That's all they got, the feet. That's what the kids eat, the feet. You think a neck's bad, eat the feet, brother. They eat chicken feet. Anybody know anybody that's ever had to eat chicken feet? Miss Helen? Daddy said that's what they had to eat, is the feet. I can't imagine. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? Big old toenails. But you know what? Mom kept praying, mom kept praying, and daddy got saved. Daddy got saved. He come through the house one morning. Your daddy's not right with God. My daddy come through the house one morning, and he had a bag about that big, and it was full of beer and liquor, and he set it down on the kitchen table. Said, "That's it." We was getting ready to go street preaching in Marion. And we all looked at him, and he said, "I was down on my knees in there under bed last night," and he stuck his hand up and said, "I felt it when it come." And buddy, I took a fit. I'm telling you, I took a fit. And he didn't know the right terminology, but he got saved. And he quit drinking just like that. He quit. I'm telling you, he's able. God's able. He's able. He's able. I know, don't you let the devil tell you. Y'all girls was talking about when their daddy is not saved or not right with God. And some of y'all, don't you let the devil tell you, they're hopeless. There's no hope for them. They're too wicked. They're too far gone, preacher. Listen, old Billy Bray, I don't know if you've ever heard of Billy Bray, but he shouted all the time. He was a coal miner from England. And back in 1830, way back long time ago, he lived a wicked, wicked, vile life. And he got saved, and he worked and witnessed, and the whole coal miner village where he lived, Billy Bray come back and witnessed to every one of them people. And they started getting saved. People in the community started getting saved. And he shouted all the time, and people got saved right and left. And lo and behold, he said that they started a church. They started a church right there for their little community because there wasn't one. And them people started a church, and they sent them a pastor. And the pastor got up and started reading scripture, and Billy Brotherton said, "That guy don't act right." And he asked him, he said, "Are you saved?" And the pastor didn't even know he was saved. And he read Romans, some scripture in Romans about being saved, and he got under conviction and got saved. He's the only person I ever heard of got saved listening to his own sermon. He did. Man got saved. He preached himself under conviction and got saved. And Billy Bray said, "Hallelujah!" And he said, "Praise God!" He picked up, and gave the glory to God, and he preached on "What Think You of Christ?" and got saved, and said, God be the glory, and Billy Bray and them shouted out, God saved Billy Bray, God saved that preacher in the pulpit, God saved my daddy, God saved me. Listen, I was an unlikely candidate to get saved. I wasn't in a car wreck. I didn't about break my neck. I just got under conviction and got saved. I remember playing ball. We and these boys was playing basketball up there, and I got bored with it, playing ball. And I remember thinking, is this all there is to life? I had a car. I had a motorcycle. I was 18 years old. I could about do what I wanted to. I was scared to go out and do too much sin. I never did drink, never drank, never smoked. I saw what it did to daddy, and it scared me. And I thought, well, I don't want to do that. That's stupid. And I thought, what are they to do? And the Lord was getting me under conviction. And they had the revival, and I got saved. Now listen, if I got saved, and my daddy got saved, and Billy Bray got saved, and that preacher got saved, God can save your daddy. God can save your brother. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Girls, boys, every night when you go down, say, Lord, please get a hold of my daddy. Lord, please get a hold of my mama. Lord, please get a hold of my brother. Don't you give up. The Lord is able. The Lord is able. Now, you're like me. Sometimes you meet these people and you just say, I don't know. I know God's able, but they'll never. You know, we all like that, ain't you? Don't you do that? I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You forget who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with God Almighty. And God ain't going to make somebody get saved, but He can sure make them wish they're ready. He can make them get ready. He can cause things to happen in their life to get them ready. How many of you have somebody in your family, immediate family, that is not a Christian? Would you raise your hand, please? Well, that's just about everybody in there. That's just about. It may be almost everybody in here. Don't you give up, because He's able. All right? Number two. He's able to transform lives. He's able to transform lives. You say, well, my son's saved, but he's all messed up. My daddy got saved, but he's in prison, Brother Danny. He's on drugs. He's on alcohol. Well, did y'all hear that guy at camp? There's this guy at camp. I forget his name. It come with Brother Brandon Bruce. Does any of y'all remember that fellow's name? That I let him give his testimony that night? Y'all know who I'm talking about, though. Man, he was a blessing. This guy, he was probably about maybe 35. Maybe he might have been late 30s. And he just got out of jail. And buddy, he said, I've been on every kind of drug you can imagine. He said, I've done it all. He talked about meth and all kinds of pills and alcohol and everything. He said, they sent me to rehab. He said, I've been through it all. But he said, God got a hold of me. And he said, it's been 6 months now and I hadn't touched anything or had anything. He said, God did for me what rehab couldn't do, what programs couldn't do, what AA couldn't do. I'm telling you, God is able to transform lives. He's able to transform lives. That same week at camp, I got a text, one of them long texts where one comes in, then another comes in, then another comes in. And this lady told me, she said, Brother Danny, I was hooked on pain medicine. She said, she got on that Dilaudid or whatever it is. It's supposed to be like the strongest pain medicine you can get. And she said, I got messed up. She said, I'd be driving down the road just as high as a kite. She said, I'd be out of my mind. She said, one night I took so many pills I wanted to die. I thought, I just won't wake up. I just won't wake up. And she said, my husband got me awake. And he said, they took me to the hospital. She said, I almost got killed 3 or 4 times. She said, I gave it all to the Lord. She said, I turned it all over to the Lord. I forgot how many months ago, 6 months, a year ago. And she said, I hadn't had a desire. I hadn't wanted nothing. She said, I'm clean. She said, it's gone. She said, I still have pain once in a while. I have to go get something for it. Just take it and that's it. I'm no longer hooked on pain medicine. I'm telling you, the Lord can transform lives. He can transform lives. And I'm going to stop and say here. It's easy for me to say because I ain't hurting. Y'all, be very careful about pain medicine. Be real careful. We're living in a day when all they're doing is putting heroin in pills and giving it to people. It's an opiate. It goes to the pleasure center in your brain and makes you a drug addict. Now listen, if I had a kidney stone, I'd take pain medicine too. I had a really, really bad headache the other night. And I usually get a little headache, not much of one, but I mean a bad one. I don't get a bad one, but about once every year or two. And oh my goodness, Lordy mercy. I'm telling you, it was killing me. Up through here, down in my eye, hurting in my eye where you feel like you're going to throw up. You ever had one of them headaches where you honestly feel like you're going to throw up? And when you get like that, you'll take some. And I did. I took something for pain. Of course, I take goody powder for a regular little headache, but I wanted something stronger. I wanted something stronger. And I'm telling you, buddy, but you know what? I scared death. I went around all day long before I'd take something. I'm scared of it. I kept thinking, oh, it'll quit. I'm scared to death to take something strong. They give me something when I hurt my knee that time, and it made me feel terrible. I thought, Lordy mercy, I don't know what that was, but I don't want to feel like that all the time. And leave that stuff alone. You want to be in your right mind. You don't want to fool with pain medicine unless you're having a lot of pain. But I got off track there a little bit. But you remember, God is able. Y'all remember Jennifer, the lady that gave her testimony at camp, the blonde-haired lady from Scott's church? She's done it all. She said, I've done all that stuff. And God delivered her. He's able to transform lives. Number three, I think this will help you. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from falling. If we'll commit our life to Him and live for Him, Jude verse 24 said, Now unto him that is able. I want to claim that verse. I want to get a hold of that verse. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I know a lot. I've had young people at camp and at church, and I say, Won't you come get saved? And they'll say, no, I tried it, Brother Danny. It didn't work. Every time I get right, I just go right back into sin. I fall back. And there's no doubt some of you teenagers here tonight, you're scared to death. You think, I'm not going to make it. I know I won't. A temptation will come and I'll fall again. Let me tell you something. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you. If you want to be kept, He can keep you. Our problem sometimes is we don't want to be kept. Sometimes we think, Lord, I'm just going to go jump in sin. You do that, you'll pay a price. You know what? We need some of y'all. You know what would thrill me if every one of y'all here tonight, if you just made up your mind, bless the Lord, I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to do it. By God's grace, I'm going to stay in here. If I trip and fall, I'm going to get cleaned up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to stay right with God. You don't have to backslide. Isn't it pitiful that people think, well, those young people, I've seen them get fired up like that. That won't last. Prove them wrong. Amen? You show them God's able to keep you from falling. Amen? I've heard older people say, well, those young people get fired up. They're just like old people. You just keep it hid. You old people get backslid too. You just go through the motions and make us think you're right. It's evident when they're backslid. But we're all like that. And I'm going to tell you something. God's able to keep you from falling. He's able. You get down every day and say, Lord, don't let me fall. Keep me away from crazy people. Amen? I know kids that are scared to death to go back to school. But He's able. My cousin, Sam Bellini, well, Sam pastors the Freedom Baptist Church in Hidden Height, North Carolina. He's my first cousin. Sam's mom, my mom's sisters. And Sam got right with God at camp, just like y'all did. Him and Dan, his twin brother. Dan, he's flopped around a little. No, I'm just kidding. No, Dan's all right. He's a good guy. But Sam, he really got fired up. And I mean, he got it. When he got it, he got it. He got a dose. And he took his Bible to McDowell High School in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And I mean, he carried his Bible, and they laughed at him. They laughed at him. But right now, Sam's over there preaching in a good church that loves him and takes care of him, and he's making a good living, got a wife, a couple of kids, and some of them people's in rehab. Done messed up their life, and right now the tide's turned. God's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. Amen. The devil will throw everything at you but the kitchen sink, like he did Job. Like he did Job. The devil threw everything at Job. I mean, lost what he had, lost everything. God never said this is going to be a rose garden. This ain't for sissies. I mean, brother, you get hit. I mean, they're shooting real bullets out here, buddy. I mean, the devil is on your trail. He don't like you standing for God. He don't like for you to read your Bible. He don't like for you to come to church. He's going to hit you. You know what you'll do? You'll make up your mind, come hell or high water. No boyfriend or boyfriend. No girlfriend or girlfriend. No, if I have friends, all right. If I don't have friends, all right. Me and Jesus is going through. You're able to help me, Lord. I'm going to live for you. If it higher lips everybody in the world, make up your mind. And He'll keep you. He'll keep you. He's able to keep you. He's able to keep you. There's a lot of people think you can't live right. They say, nobody can live right in this generation. That ain't true. Amen? That ain't true. You know what Jesus told Peter one time? He said, Peter, the devil desired you that he sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Now think about this, y'all. You ever thought about this? Jesus is in heaven praying for you. Man, I'm telling you, people say, well, ain't nobody prays for me. The Lord's making intercession for us right now. That means if we don't stay right, it ain't His fault, it's ours. He's able, He's willing to keep us. He'll keep you. He'll keep you. Now, you got to say no. When they come around wanting to go to a party, say no. You say, well, he's good looking. Well, the devil's smart, man. She's pretty. The devil's smart. He ain't going to send no ugly guy to get you. He'll send one. I mean, they're ugly, but you can't see it. The devil's smart. He's really smart. He's going to appeal to you. I know a boy, Marion, got saved many years ago. And he got saved on Sunday morning. Boy, he got fired up. Mike McDaniels, y'all know Brother Mike. He runs McDaniel Insurance in Marion right now. And Mike was mean as a snake before he got saved. He drank and partied and caroused around and raised the devil all the time and got saved. And he come out the church door on Sunday morning, shook my hand. He said, I turned it all over the Lord this morning, Danny. I said, I'm proud of you, Brother Mike. And he got saved and started doing right. And he said, there was a time there when he didn't have no friends. He didn't know many Christians. And he lost all of his wicked sinner friends. He said every Friday night he'd sit at the house and about go crazy. He said, I'd sit at the house and just, you know, when you're used to going somewhere, you know, every Friday night we're going out, going out, going out, going out. All of a sudden that stops. And what do Christians do? Lord, I don't know. Where are they at on Friday night? Home? What do they do on Friday night? Some of y'all went through that little space there. Did you go through it, brother? And the devil works on you. The devil works on you. You ain't got no Christian friends. And the sinner is out. And you know you can't go out there with them. And I told him, I said, hang in there, brother. Hang in there, brother. Hang in there, brother. And buddy, he did. Wasn't long till God called him to preach. Wasn't long till he's married and had a couple of kids. Wasn't long till he's pastoring a church. Wasn't long till he stayed in there all these years. You know why? God kept him. You know why? He wanted to be kept. You got to want to be kept. Put it this way. If you want to stay right, God will help you stay right. If you want to sin, the devil will help you sin. If you want to stay right, God will help you stay right. I say it again. God will help you stay right. If you want to sin, the devil will help you. If you want to live right, God will help you. All right? Say something on that, Brother Dusty. What happened to you? Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't tell you, Mike, he had this big expensive stereo, $900. That was a lot back then, put on a stereo. And he called me and said, "You want this stereo?" He said, all I got's rock music. And he said, "I don't listen to it no more. I'm quit rock and roll music." And he gave the church his stereo. I used it to make radio programs or something. I forgot what I'd done with all that stuff he gave. And he wanted to get rid of it. He said, "I'll just give it to the church. Can't listen to it no more." That man means business. See, if you stick your phones in and you're still going boom, 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 nobody don't know it. It won't hurt me. It won't be long till you'll be back out sinning. You'll be back out sinning because you think you're smarter than God and preacher and everybody else. But if you want to be kept, He'll keep you. You want to be kept, He'll keep you. You got to want to be kept. Lord, we, you know what we done? We burned ours, buddy. We burned it. We put it. Everybody brought their tape. We had tapes. I ain't even going to tell you how. 8-track, man. You don't even know what that is. And a bunch of stuff. And we put them in a big barrel and burned them. And a big smoke started coming out. And people said, I didn't see this, but people said there was demon-like shaped spirit coming out of that smoke. I didn't see that. That's why. I've heard that more than once. But you know what? We said, we're making the break. We don't want nothing to do with the devil. We don't nothing know what the devil's got. We're not interested in. Let the devil have his junk. We listen to these girls this week. They've been listening to Christian music all week and been going to church. And it ain't going to hurt you. You get addicted to that bass drum and that beat, but you'll be all right after a while with just a piano. You'll be all right after a while. Anybody else want to say anything? The Lord's able to keep you from falling. Amen? You know what helped me when I studied this? Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee." Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee." That's a blessing to me. Can you imagine the Lord up there saying, "Lord, I pray for Danny that you would help him." Jesus saying that about you and saying your name? Lord have mercy. That'll make you want to straighten up, won't it? Amen. All right. Let me get another one too right quick. We're almost out of time. He's able, number four, to fill your heart with joy. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He's able to fill your heart with joy. You don't dwell on the circumstances or your failures. You don't seek joy. You seek Him. You don't say, "Well, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy." That ain't the way to do it. Say, "I just want to be right. I just want to be right. I just want to be right." And then God will give you joy. You don't ever get joy seeking joy. Nobody's ever happy seeking happiness. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is being right with God. Amen? That's right. Now, joy, I've heard people say, "Well, I'm happy." Look at that word happy, hap, happening. That depends on what's happening around you. Happiness depends on happening. Joy comes from down here somewhere. Joy, that way you can have joy going through a divorce. You can have joy going through sickness. Remember Bo? He was sick, man, and had joy. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You can have joy with a disease. You can go have joy. You might have just got fired from your job. But you go home and say, "Glory to God, I got a better place to go when I leave here." And the joy of the Lord can fill your heart. See, there's a difference. You can have hell in your home, but have joy in your heart. He's able to fill your heart with joy. Not only that, let me say also, He's able to use you in His service. He's able to use you in His service. You believe that? The Lord loves, He's able to use you. I tell people all the time, Jesus loves you. When I go in every store, convenience store, get gas, groceries, I tell them, Jesus loves you. I hear it all the time. People say, "That made my day. You don't know how much I needed that." You just don't. That happens all the time to me. You know why? The Lord can use old good for nothing, sorry, somebody like me. I go to the, I run, you know, every weekday and sometimes on weekend, but every weekday, Monday through Friday. And sometimes I go to the gym on Monday morning. And I run, there's a bunch of kids over there, play ball with them for about an hour, gets some good sweat, and run after the weekend. And I was over there one day all by myself. There's a little boy on the other end. He's about 14 or 15. And I was going to shoot 100 free throws. I thought I'd shoot 100 free throws, see how many I could get. And I was just over there, and I was thinking about the Lord and enjoying it and everything. And that boy come over there, and he stood there and watched me for a minute. And I said, "How you doing there, buddy?" He said, "How'd you learn to shoot like that?" And I said, "Just doing it. How you learn how to do anything? Do it. That's how you learn how to preach. Preach. Well, you learn how to work. Work." I said, "Just doing it." And I said, "Here's my open door." And I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No." I think he's 15 years old. And I said, "Did you know the Lord loves you?" And then another guy left. There wasn't nobody in the gym but me and him. And we got talking. I said, "Can I take just a minute to tell you how to get saved?" And he said, "Sure." And he sat there and I sat here. And we put the ball down. And I get through Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and then Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13. And I showed him everything. And I forget his name, but I said, "Man, if I bowed my head and pray with you right now, would you bow your head and ask the Lord to save you?" He said, "Yeah, I would." And me and him prayed, and he got saved, and I shook his hand. I asked him where he said he's staying with his grandma for the summer. And I said, "Glory to God, you go home and tell your grandma you got saved." I went out there shouting. You know what? The Lord can use me. He can use you. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, you're a preacher. He can't use me like it." Yes, he can. He can you can use you even better, because when people find out you're a preacher, they put their guard up. I mean, you know, the Lord can use y'all. These girls and you young boys, y'all can be dangerous out on a bus route. God can use you like crazy out on a bus route. The Lord could use some of you people in here. You can reach people that I could never reach. You can get people come to church that wouldn't give me time of day. I'm telling you, He's able. You know why the Lord uses people? They want Him to use them. Not to have anything special, talent or gift or smarts or looks or anything. I want God to use me. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Let me ask you something. Do you want God to use you? If you want Him to, He will. The only reason He ain't, you don't want Him to. You say, "Well, He can if He wants to." That ain't the way it works. Get down and beg Him, "God, use me. God, if you'll let me meet somebody like Brother Danny." You say, "Well, I can't shoot free throw." You can do something. You can do something. You got on nice shoes. "Oh, I like your shoes." "Oh, yeah?" Then start talking to them about the Lord. Every time it's some kind of open door. When I go to the hospital, I get on the elevator, and they say, "Which way are you going?" Well, you don't say that to somebody like me. We're a preacher. We got a one-track mind. Right? When somebody says, "Which way are you going?" We kick into preaching mode right then. "I'm going to heaven. Where are you going?" I've got on the elevator and I said, "Well, I'm going to up. I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'm going to the third floor on this thing." See, there's always an open door. There's always an open door. Some of y'all, your friends are going to say, "Why ain't you been around lately?" There's your chance right there. Open door. Walk through it, man. Be brave. Tell them. "I got saved." "You mean you're not saved? What's wrong with you?" That's reverse peer pressure. Make them feel weird for not right with God. "Can't believe you. You're not a Christian? You don't go to church on Sunday? God." Put it on them, brother. Put it on them. Same way at work. Don't let them intimidate you. You intimidate them. God's greater than the devil. Put your bumper sticker on your liquor sickle. Amen? That's right. Put your bumper sticker on your locker at school. Put it on there, brother. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. We don't have long. Let's stand up for Him and be a blessing. You know why? Because He's able. He's able. Amen. I'm going to have to hush right there. Amen. You say, "Well, Lord have mercy, Brother Danny." You know what John Wesley said? John Wesley said, "I'm immortal till my work is done. I'm immortal till my work is done." And somebody say one time, they said, "Well, Danny Castle just thinks he's invincible." I am, if I'm in God's will doing His work. And you are too. The devil can't kill you till God gets through with you if you're doing God's will. Now, outside of God's will, we're just a little old piece of clay. Buddy, a spider could bite us and kill us. But you're immortal till God gets through with you. That's a great thought, buddy. That's a great thought. All you got to worry about is doing right and doing God's will. Miss Desi, I want you to come to the piano, please. I want you to bow your head and have a word of prayer this evening. I wanted to preach, but I just wanted to teach you this little lesson this evening on He's able. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to help you resist that temptation the devil's throwing at you. You say, well, Brother Danny, I know I'm going to be tempted this weekend, and I know the devil's going to throw that temptation at you. He's able. While she plays softly, why don't you just come down here and get down on your knees and let's pray and let's ask God to help you to be strong. Amen. Come on. Amen. Just get out of your seat and come and let's pray this evening. Maybe it's somebody you need to witness to at work. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe a daddy. Or maybe a mom. And you just want to say, Lord, help me. He's able. He's able. He's able this evening. We're not going to have any singing. We're just going to pray for a minute. And let's say, Lord, God, give me grace to live for you. Help me live right. Amen. Amen. God, help us this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody in here tonight. Lord, I know they're all going through their individual struggles and fighting the battles. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless each and every single one of them. Dear God, help them for Jesus' sake. Help them to live right. Help all these young people to say no to the devil and the world and the flesh. I pray, Father, that you'd bless them in a mighty way. I pray, Father, that you'd help them to resist temptation, Lord, that comes their way. I pray, God, that you'd save their mamas and their daddies and their brothers and their sisters. Send a great revival to our church, Lord, and to our homes and our families, dear Lord. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, move in power. God, move in power. Oh, God, do what ought to be done, Lord. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Have your way in our hearts. We'll thank you and praise you for it. God, do with us what needs to be done. God, help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to stand. Keep us from falling. Lord, bless us as we get ready to go over to Brother Bentley's Saturday night. Lord, let us have a big crowd going. Lord, maybe shout the victory and help and encourage them. And bless on the bus route Saturday morning as we go visiting. Lord, help us to be led to somebody's door to witness to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Sunday morning, Sunday night. Bless in the days ahead. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Do what ought to be done. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.